Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take it back a little bit. One, two, three, say. You might as well go on ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be a man. I'm asking you to protect me. I know you can. I know you will. Fight my battles. I keep still. Jesus in this place. Bring it up. Yeah. Protection. Protection. The protection.
So many times Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic for you today, the furnace of life. And I hope it'll be able to help someone today. And in our broadcast today, we'll be talking about throughout the show on pain, praise, persecution, punishment, and privilege. And before we go into the meat of the word today, let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you that I can be still to hear the Father and know that you are God, that you are in control, and that I can restfully depend upon you and absorb your strength and joy and peace. To think that you not only permit me to come before you, but you actually desire my fellowship, my worship, my praise, my fellowship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and my eternal presence. Your desire is for me, Lord, that you should allow your creature to have fellowship with you is wonderful enough, that you can desire it, that it gives you satisfaction, joy, and pleasure. It's almost too much for my understanding. I thank you, Lord. Bless each person listening to this broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father. Let it be something that is said that would draw them closer to you, dear Heavenly Father, for a better understanding of your word this day. Amen and thank God. Well, today our topic is the furnace of life. And again, I will iterate. You're going to hear about pain in this. You're going to hear about praise, persecution, punishment, and privilege. And you know, as the words say, as finding pots for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And today, you know, everybody at one time or another must go through experiences of trials and testing. This is one of the facts of life that we had better accept it if we intend to make circumstances our servants and not our master. You know, we picture these difficult times in different ways, different things that you go through in life. You picture them in different ways. I'm really going through a battle, that was some of you all say. We might say this to a trusted friend. Or we could say, our family is in the middle of a storm. There's many storms that's brewing around America today in different families. But one of the most vivid image of testing and trial is that of the furnace. You know, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And my first chapter, verse is going to come from Proverbs, the 17th chapter and the 3rd verse. And the word of God said, the finest pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the heart. You'll find that Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 3rd verse of chapter 17, that way you can read it for yourself. You know, wealthy Solomon knew something about gold and silver in the word of God, but he also knew something about life. He knew that God sometimes puts his people into the furnace in order to prove them and to purify them. How many of you all have been put in the furnace today to be proven and to be purified? You know, just like with that potter's wheel. You've been put a, you know, that potter's wheel, it just go round and round. And the Lord sees things that should not be a mar in you. So he'll take it out and start it spinning it again. I'm paraphrasing it right now. Let's review some of the furnaces of life and receive from the Lord the encouragement we need for these demanding and demands today on each and every one of y'all lives. First, we're going to talk about pain, the furnace of pain. But God knows the way that I take. This is coming from Job, say Job, from his ash heap. When he had tested me, I shall come forth as gold. You'll read that in Job, the 23rd chapter and the 10th verse. You all know the story. You know what Job went through in the word of God, how he was tested and put through the fire. And the word of God saying, Job 23 and 10, but he knows the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That way you know that's right in the scripture what I give you. You know, next to our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps no man mentioned in the Bible suffering more than Job. You know, as you read the word of God, you see how much Job suffered, what he lost, family, cattle, everything that he had, wife, children. First, he lost his wealth. How many of you all out there listening to the broadcast today that lost your wealth? Then his children. How many of you all have lost your children from being disobedient, not doing what God has said? Are you just being put through the furnace of life? Then your health. How many of you all have been stricken down in your health? You don't know which way to turn. When you go to the doctor, as the senior citizens say, if it's not one thing, it's another. You saying this wrong with you, that's wrong with you. And then the encouragement of his wife, Job's wife, and his friend. Look how they badgered Job. Job, you must have done something. The reason God done put all this affliction upon you. You had to do something. Say something. He sat along on his ash heap, as you read in the word of God, listening to his friends falsely diagnosing his case. How many of you all have been listening to your friends and been falsely diagnosed about what they say, what we say? But had you sit down and listen to what God say? You say you hear the voice of God. So who are you listening to, your friends, or are you listening to God? You know, here, his case, he had to try to prove that he was a secret sinner who was being punished by God. He wasn't being punished by God. He wasn't a secret sinner. You know, that theory, like many of you today, of course, was that God always blessed the righteous with health and wealth, but punish the wicked by making them suffer. My. Now just think. Now God does something. Sometimes use physical suffering to discipline his children. But this does not mean that every case of suffering in the family of God is necessarily, here's a word I was going to use, a punishment from God. It may be that God has other purpose in mind when he permits us to go into the furnace of pain. Job suffered in vigorous way for 13 years. You'll find that in the scripture. Yet he was certainly not in the furnace because of disobedience to God. You know, when things happen to you, the first thing somebody want to say, what did you do? What sin did you commit? In the word, it says, my father or mother didn't sin. You know, we got on this earth, you're going to go through some trials and tribulation. God went through them, and he was God. He created the world, everything that's in it. And didn't they crucify him? Then they just did every manner of evil against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So why do you think you are going to not pass? Get to pass your test? If he went through it and withstood it, what about you and I? You know, as I was reading that, the prophet Jeremiah and the apostle Paul both suffered greatly, yet their suffering came because they obeyed God. not because they disobeyed him. God did everything for each and every one of us. He died on the cross for us, something that we wouldn't have did for our family or loved ones. But he did that. When you think about the agony he went through, the slander he went through, and when you read the word all the way through and through, how he blessed the people, how he brought the people out of Egypt, who was his chosen people, how to scandalize his name, how to disown him. You go through that right now. But is that any reason to turn your back on God? No. We're going to go through the furnace of life on this side in this world. You know, Job understood the furnace of pain. God was purging always the drought so that Job might come out the furnace as pure gold. You know, a lot of us have to go into that pot that we can come out as pure gold, refining silver or gold. So is a man to his praise. You know, none of us enjoy pain. That is word again. The furnace of pain is not something that we pray for or eagerly anticipate. But sometimes we need it. I think I'll say that again. None of us enjoy pain. The furnace of pain is not something that we pray for or eagerly anticipate. But sometimes we need it. How many times are the things, the trials and tribulations you're going through and pain hit you? You're murmuring, you're complaining. You're telling everybody in the world you can about what you're going through. But are they the ones that's going to see you through that? Are they the ones going to lighten your pain any better? Are they the ones going to take it away? No. You have to go through something. You got to go through a test to be able to give a testimony. If you've never went through anything, how are you going to be able to come out and give a testimony to somebody else when it's time they go through it? You can tell them how God brought you out. You know, like Job, we must enter the furnace by faith and trust the Father to accomplish his purpose in our life. You know, it is better to go through the furnace and come out as pure gold than to be too cheap to be useful in the hands of the Father. See, he know what you're made up of. He know what you can take and what you can't. Sometimes you're going through so much, you just throw your hands up and say, I can't do this no more. I can't take this here. But when you just put your mind just for 5 minutes, 5 seconds, on what God went through on that cross, what he went through before he reached the cross for you and I. These are light affliction that's happening to us down here. We think it's going to just take us out. But when you think about it, it's light affliction. You know, the refining pot is for silver and furnace for gold. And a man is valued by what others say of him. You'll find that in Proverbs 27, and I'm going to turn over there to Proverbs 27 and verse 21. That way I want you to know it's coming from the Word of God. For all of you all that's listening in Kenya, I'm going to give you all the scriptures. That way you can follow me also. I got an email from Kenya where they'll be listening to the program and want more scriptures and more things that they're listening to over there, families and friends. We give God praise for each and everybody that come on this air to listen to this broadcast, because it's not about overseer. It's all about the Lord and letting him use me in the way he would have me to be you. And as verse 21 says in Proverbs 27, I'm reading from the Word of God, and you can read it along with me from your Bible. And the Word of God said, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to praise him. You know, the simple proverb is quite broad in its interpretation. and application. For one thing, it wants us not to believe all the complimentary things people say about us. You have better put people's praise into the furnace, warn Solomon, and get rid of the dross. Otherwise, you might start believing what they say, and this can lead to pride and sin. You don't want pride and sin to creep into your life. Don't put yourself upon a pedestal. Just go on and do the work that God has called for each and every one of you and myself to do. You know, this proverb also says that people can and are tested and proven by what they praise. That makes good sense. Person who praises a crafty politician for lying his way out of trouble simply announced to the world that they themselves are liars. And I'm using that as an example. You want to make good sense. You want to do what God said, because you're going to be tried and tested in this world on this side. But there is another interpretation and application of this proverb. How people respond to praise tests their true character. In other words, praise is like a furnace. It can bring out either the best in us or the worst in us. Have you ever just decided one day, you don't have to just be at the church, you don't have to be on the prayer line, you can be in your car, you can be walking down the street, you can be riding a bicycle, on a skateboard, but don't you know you can just start thinking of the goodness of Jesus and just start out with a praise? Don't you know when the blessings go up, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So if you don't send no praises up, how do you expect blessings to come down to you? You got to start praising God like you done lost your mind. If David could do it and praise out of his clothes, surely you and I and everyone else can do it. It's all about praise. If you're going through something right now, just start praising God. I'm a living witness. He'll bring you out of it. All he'll ask you is for praise. Just start giving him the first fruit of your lips. Start opening your mouth, declaring the word of God. Start giving him a praise. And you'd be surprised how your situation will turn around in your life. Just start praising him. For GP, you don't just have to have me wanting nothing. Just praise him for GP. He loved to hear from his children. He liked to know what they're doing and what they're saying. He's watching, but he's looking at your life. He's looking whether you're praising him. Did you praise him this morning for getting you up this morning with breath in your body? Somebody didn't wake up that you may know this morning. Did you thank him and start praising him for the activities of your limb? We're talking today about the furnaces of life. You're going to go through some trials and tribulations. Sure, you may have received a pink slip this morning. Start praising God like you done lost your mind. God, I thank you for that pink slip. I know you're going to say, well, overseer, how can you say that? Because don't you know when you go to praising God for that pink slip, God has got a ram in the bush. He got a better job with more pay, better hours, and thank for you just sitting there waiting on you to just give him some praise. Sure, they may have picked up your car. But just think about it. Just start praising God. God going to send somebody, going to give you a car. Well, you don't even have a car, no. Just start praising him today. Start opening your mouth and give God the praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, as I was going through the word on this here lesson that I'm bringing today, I just started thinking about all the things God has done for me, all the things that have happened to me in my lifetime. And don't you know, I had to give him a praise. I didn't have to stop my car sometimes and give a praise break, just get out the car and run around it two or three times. No, people probably thought I was crazy. But when I just think about the goodness of Jesus, all the pain, the praises, the persecution that I come through and still doing daily, the punishment that was put on me, but the privilege that I have now just to praise him, you know, it can bring out either the best in us or the worst in us. You know, as I think about it, Saul and David come to mind. When they returned from that battle, they was met by adoring crowds who praised them. Saul has slain his 1,000. They sang. And David, his 10,000. David responded to that song by being humble and submissive, walking carefully before the people and the Lord. Can you come humbly this morning? Can you be submissive this morning? Can you walk carefully before the people this morning? You know, the Lord Saul responded by envying David and then trying to kill him. You'd have read the story. Saul ended up a suicide on the battlefield, while David went on to prosper and to reign. You know, the way we respond to criticism depends on the way we respond to praise. If praise humbles us, then criticism will build us up. But if praise inflates us, then criticism will crush us. And both respond lead to defeat. Just think about that. I'm going to let that sink in a little while, and I'm going to play a song while I let you let the furnace of life, pain, praise, persecution, punishment, and privilege. And I'm going to play a song right now.
Take me to the key. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the key. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. Torn in pieces, it's my offering. my offering.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, take to the King. You know, as I go back to our lesson today, the way we respond to the things I was saying on criticism depend on the way we respond to praise. If praise humble us, then criticism will build us up. But if praise inflate us, then criticism will crush us, and both respond lead to defeat. Today, we need to start praising God like never before. If you're going through something on your job, just start with a praise break. Just say, God, how I thank you, how I love you, how I do. Just start with your lips opening your mouth. So see, with the enemy here, he can't. As long as you don't open your mouth, you can't tell what you say. But when you open your mouth and that praise come out, he's got to flee. He's got to flee. You know, I was thinking about young preachers. It is a sad thing when a man succeeds before he is ready for it. Because, you know, a lot of go out there, but then he loses it. He has that zeal and everything. But when things start happening to him, he don't know which way to go. Everything go to folding. You know, I have noticed that Christians who really have something to brag about, really brag, they are content to let God review their record and grant the reward. You don't have to go around just saying, I did this, I did that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God will speak for you on your behalf. You don't have to do a thing. You know, these people have been tested in the furnace of praise and have come out pure gold. To the glory of God. See, when you've been tested in the furnace of life, God will give you your reward. You don't need the people to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're doing a fine job, and on one hand, and they daggering you and slandering you, on the other. No. You know, then we're going to come to the time of the furnace of persecution. You know, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try, test you, as though some strange things happen to you. You'll find that in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. You can read that at your leisure. I'm just trying to give you scriptures because we have people from Kenya that wrote in that would like to hear the scriptures because they're interested. They want to do what thus saith the Lord. They're coming together. They've started churches with their families. And others. Now I'm going to go ahead and read for the benefit of those. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And I'll go on to verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. My. You know, that's the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish. Though it is tried with fire, it may be found to praise, you know, found to praise, honor, and glorify, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My. You know, as I was reading that, Peter knew what he was writing about from the beginning of his ministry. He was faced with persecution. How many of you all today, when you God started the ministry, when you were faced with persecution? You couldn't do this. God didn't call you to do that. You saying this, and he didn't tell you to say that. How many of you all wanted to throw in the towel, give up, run away and hide from faced with persecution. You know, Peter, nor was he surprised when it came forth. After all, didn't the Lord prepare the disciples for the furnace of persecution? Yes, he did. In the world, you will have tribulation that we have. But be of good cheer. That's what the word says. I have overcome the world. You'll read that in John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. And I'm turning right over to it now, John 16 and 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My. The more we live like the Lord Jesus Christ, because we made in his image, you all. Yes. Hallelujah. When I just think about that. Ooh, Lordy. You know, as I go over that, the more we live like the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we can expect to be treated the way he was treated. You know how God was treated, how the Lord Jesus Christ, you read it in your word every time you pick up your Bible. So you think you was going to be any different from the Lord who created us? We was made in his image now. We was made in his image and his likeness. So that means we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be mistreated. We're going to go through trials and tribulation. We're not here on a flowery bed of Eden. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And you can find that also in 2 Timothy. And I'll go over that, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. And the word of God say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That letting you know, and nobody on this God green earth going to be here and live on a flower bed of Eden. It's not going to experience something in their life that they're not going to go through the fire. And sometimes things happen to you, it be bim, 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 bim. And people say, how can you go through that? All I can do is bring you back to the story of Job, how he went through it. But he stayed there till his change come, and God gave him double for the trouble. Just think about that. Hang on in there. Don't give in. Don't get off the ship. Don't get off the boat. Hang on in there. Because God got something prepared for his people, the men and women of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, when the believer faces the furnace of persecution, it is actually a compliment. Woe unto that Christian who get along with the world and wins the world praises. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have conformed to the king's will and avoided the furnace, but they preferred to obey the law. I'm speaking today pathetically. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have conformed to the king's wishes and his will to avoid the furnace, but they prefer to obey the law, that means you can go through it till today. Hold on in there. Don't give up. Stand still. Stand tall with the helmet of salvation. Put your breastplate on. You know, God examines with trials. If you face, you know, fail your trial, your test, how you going to come back and give somebody a testimony? You got to take that test all over again. You know, the devil examines with temptation. The world examines with persecution. The furnace of persecution is evidence that the believer is creating problems for the world. And the world cannot take it. You know, if the world hate you, Jesus told his disciples, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And you'll find that if you think I'm not reading it right, turn over to your Bibles, to John, the 15th chapter, and read it for yourself. The 15th chapter and the 18th verse says, if the world hate you, which means me and you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That means it hated Jesus before it even knew you. So if it hated Jesus, you know surely they're going to hate us. But we got to lift up a standard. We got to come out with that power, that authority, and that dominion to do what God said do. No matter what somebody else had done said, if the word of God, it is written, the word of God said, it is written already in the word what we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to follow the word of God that God have given to us. We're not to deviate from it. We're not to listen to what we thought was God. We better know that we're hearing God's voice. We better know without a shadow of a doubt. When we start something, God, I want to make sure this is from you. You better ask yourself. Because you're going to have a lot of spirits out there. Make sure you're hearing the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of spirits running around out there. But you better examine yourself with every trial that you go through. Because the world hated Jesus, so you know it's going to hate you. You know, but Peter tells us that the furnace of persecution bring more benefit than it does burdens. No matter how difficult it may be to experience, for one thing, we all are suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? That is a privilege. For to you have been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And I'm going to give you a scripture where you can reach. You can go to Philippians 1 and 29. And it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. I'm giving you what the words say in scripture. That way you don't have no doubt. You know, it is a grand thing to be identified with the fellowship of his suffering. My. You know, when I went over to Philippians 3 and 10, it said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. My. You know, God does not always settle his account immediately. The world persecute the church and often appear to be the victor in the battle. But one day, God will judge the world and glorify the church. In the life of faithful Christians, God can transform suffering into glory, persecution into coronation. I think I'll tell you that again. God will judge the world and glorify the church in the life of the faithful Christian. You heard me say faithful Christian. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't get up. They didn't put their head between their legs. They stood on the word of God. God can transform suffering into glory, persecution, into coronation. You know, then we come down to punishment. You know, the furnace of punishment. You know, it's a remarkable thing that our Lord, while on earth, said more about hell than he did about heaven. You know, you don't get too many preachers talking about hell no more. It's homes, houses, land, material stuff, prosperity, which we need all that on the land. But you don't hear him telling you about hell. Because there's so many people on their way to hell because hell is not being taught in the body of Christ anymore. See, when we came up, we heard about hell every week during the week. If you're doing this, you're going to hell. You better get your life straight with God. But people are scared to talk about hell now. You know what they're saying? It's enlarging itself. And, you know, as I thought about that, it is a remarkable thing that our Lord, while on earth, said more about hell than he did about heaven. He compared hell, I would say, to the garbage dump. And as I was reading the scripture, that was located outside Jerusalem, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. When you go to Mark 9:44, I'm going to read you what it says. Mark 9:44 says, where their worms die not and the fire is not quenched. My. He also compared hell to outer darkness. If you turn over in your Bible to Matthew's the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, the word of God said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out, and to outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you look at Chapter 22 of Matthew, I'm going to turn over that, verse 13. The word of God says, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then when you read 25 and 30, all this talking about the furnace of life now, 25 and 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're still talking about here, you all. You know, theologians, you know, and liberal theologians like to say there is no hell, but a God of love would not send people to a furnace of eternal fire. But God does not send people to hell. They send themselves. I better say that. God don't send you to hell in a picnic basket or a grocery cart. You send your own self to hell. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, not for people made in God's image. And God made you in his image and likeness. Those who follow Satan and believe his lies must end up where he ends up, and that is in hell. Hell might be considered a mysterious blot against the holy character of God. Were it not for Calvary, God had prepared a way for sinners to escape the furnace of fire. And that way is his son, Jesus Christ. He endured the fire of hell for a lost world. He went through the outer darkness. He identified himself with the sins of the world. Yes, was made sin for us, so that we might be saved from eternal judgment. God has prepared a way for sinners. So if you are a sinner today, you can escape the furnace of fire. Turn your life over to Jesus. Turn your life completely around. Come out the clutches of the enemy. Because right now, in the day and time that we're living in, he's trying to grasp for everybody he can. Pull your children out. Pull your husband out. Pull your wife out. Pull your mother and father out the hands of the enemy, that's Satan and all his angels. Not God and his angels. That way, if you pull him through the outer darkness, he will identify himself with the world. You know, because there is such a place at hell. It behooves each and every one of us who are saved to warn a lost world of the wrath to come. Y'all see what's happening in America and around the world, not just in the United States, but around the world. It's time for each and every one of us, I include myself, to tell and warn a lost world of the wrath to come. Destruction is hitting the land. If you have not seen all the destruction that's hitting the land, shooting everywhere, children getting in school, you know, never mention hell. You know, that's what some people say, but you better start talking about hell, because you're going to lift your eyes in hell and your whole soul if you don't start living for Jesus. God has sent us out to be witnesses, not prosecuting attorneys. Let's not act as though we are glad people are going to hell. Let's do something to stop them today, you all. Each and every person that's listening to this broadcast today, let's do something to stop people from going to hell. God's children experience furnace and must go through the fire, but we will never experience the furnace of eternal punishment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them and to those who are in Christ Jesus. You find that in Romans 8 and 1. Let's not be afraid of the furnace of life, for God is in control. And it's working out his wonderful purpose for each and every one of us. Rather, let's fear lest we fail to witness, pray, and give as we should so that others might escape the furnace of hell. If you have never trusted Christ, then receive him now today. He is the only Savior and the only one he will save you is by trusting him and opening your life to him. But as many has received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Today, pull somebody else that you know is on their way to hell. Pull them out the hands of the enemy today. The furnace of life is before you today. The world is chaos, but you don't have to let your loved ones go to hell. Pull them out today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you for each and every person that will heed to this broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for saved souls, sanctified, dear Heavenly Father. Come crying out what they must do to be saved, dear Heavenly Father. Pulling them out of the hands of the enemy, dear Heavenly Father, of the clutches of the enemy, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise today. We give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God. And until next week, hope to hear from you all next week. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Bye-bye from Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.